Let us pray. Thy word is a light, a lamp upon my feet, and a light upon my way. May your word enlighten us this day. May we see the sin that is ever before us and recognize your great love for each of us. In your name we pray. Amen. Partiality. We love to talk about it. And oftentimes we live it. The reality is, God wants us to show no partiality. Webster defines partiality as the quality or state of being partial. That's a great definition. Right. All right. So I looked another place and it says unfair bias in favor of one thing or person compared with another, favoritism. Now it's getting more to the heart of the real issue of our partiality. We are biased. By our very nature, we are biased. We love being treated with eye-popping performances. We love it when those great plays happen in football. And that's like UNC the other night. They probably weren't happy, but anyway, we love those eye-popping experiences or performances. We love those concerts where they wow us. And yet, sometimes those kind of things can be sort of ruined by one little flaw. A pitcher can pitch a very good game, and then it's that one pitch. And somebody hits a grand slam, and there you are. Totally in a different place. The quarterback throws an interception at that key drive to the goal line. What do we remember? Not how good they played, but what we remember is that one play that changed maybe the outcome or the event. James, in verses 14 and 18, says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have work? Can that faith save him?" Yes, keeping the whole law can be a wonderful thing, except one small problem. It takes just that one little flaw. And we are still guilty of the whole law. What good is it when we give lip service to our God? Our faith is shallow. Our faith, which we profess, is not lived out in our lives as we refuse to show mercy to others as we should. It seems to me that the early church had a problem with partiality. If we look at Jesus and his ministry on earth, there was a problem with partiality. The Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, they wanted certain things and God did not add up. Because they were partial. When Paul writes his letter in the book of James, obviously, there was the same problem that he saw a great deal of partiality around the body of Christ and around the Word of God, because we do have our favoritisms. We do focus on those things that are in our interest. Yes, we love to talk about partiality, but the truth is that's how we often live, with very partial lives. We talk about it, and how do we live it? I deliberately entitled this message, Talking Partiality, Living Partiality, because that is often what we do. And what does James say? My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and a poor man in clothes also comes in with you, and you paid attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there. You get the gist. We can be very partial. And yes, in the church we do that. When I started my mission congregation, I had a pastor in a fellow congregation say to a couple of his members who were thinking about joining us, you know, where would you rather eat? At a fine restaurant or the city dump? What was his implication? That our church was the city dump. That was a brother in Christ showing a great deal of partiality. We all do it. We all live it. We are to be followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. As followers, we are to show no partiality. We are to look on one another through the love of Christ, and the love of Christ should control us. We oftentimes ignore this warning from James. How can you be a faithful follower of Christ when our lives are so controlled by our partiality in our speech and our behavior? Ida struck with a vengeance. We all witnessed it racing through our land. As we looked at that path of destruction and we saw the images, what ran through your mind? It's easy to say, as I heard one say, how can I feel sorry for all of those who are suffering? They were warned to get out, but chose not to. Where's the love in a statement like that? It might soothe our conscience, but the reality is that many of those who did not get out because they did not have the means or a place to go. And now what do they face? A tremendous, uncertain future. Ida struck the Northeast. And the deluge was far more than anticipated. Created all kinds of scenarios. How will we respond? How will we as the church show no partiality to those who are suffering in various ways around the world? Do we sit here in our calm and neat little community? Or do we lift up those in need with our prayers and our thoughts? Do we reach out to those around us? James says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Think about those words. Oftentimes, we have to come back to that to those words in James. What good is it? Angela talked about that with the children's message. Yeah, we can think we're pretty good at things, but what good is it? What good is our faith that we may speak if we don't live it? Works and faith go hand in hand. We show we are Christians by our love, by touching other lives with that love that has touched our lives. Too often we are guilty of blowing it completely because we live such partial lives. We love those favored ones in our lives. It was a dilemma in the time of Jesus. It's also a dilemma for us today. How about those who are in the throes of the depths of despair and pain and ruin, who have no place to turn? Where are we? Where is the body of Christ? We turn. to our Savior. We turn to our Savior because He has given us unconditional love. He went to that cross knowing full well that He was paying the price for each and every one of our sins. And He did it so that all might be redeemed. We oftentimes focus on others getting and receiving justice. What is justice without love? How do we show love to one another? We oftentimes justify ourselves with our words, and yet our rhetoric is far from that kneeling at the foot of the cross. That's where we need to be, at the foot of the cross. Faith is not something we say or keep boxed up in here. Faith is something that is lived, alive, active. It is showing that love that God has for us. We all want forgiveness. We even say the confession and absolution Sunday after Sunday, reminding us how important that forgiveness is in our lives. And yet, how willing are we to forgive others? How often do we really do that soul searching that needs to be done in each one of our lives? It's easy for us to live lies pointing the fingers at others who have failed. Whether they be our leaders, nation, our bosses at work, our fellow workers, our neighbors. Everything we live oftentimes shows our partiality. James doesn't mince any words here. He says, when we do that, when we show partiality, we have sinned. We have fallen short of living a life under the cross of Christ. And yet the good news is, it is for that reason that Christ came. You know, it's really interesting to me because in this country right now, we do a great job about resisting mass. And yet every day we mask so many things in our lives from others. This epistle is a tough one. It strikes where we live. The sin of partiality should have no place in the body of Christ, and yet it is active and alive. I would invite you to go home, reread this letter. Look at your own life, your own sinfulness. When it comes to partiality, favoritism, get on your knees, confess before God, and receive that forgiveness that only God can give. Yes, we need to talk about partiality not the way we often do, but through the love of Christ, working, active, and alive in each of our lives. Amen.